It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Oh, I think we can do better than that. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Is our God great? Is our God good? Is our God an awesome God? And His wonders to behold. Amen. Let me ask you to take your Bibles this morning, if you will. Be finding a very familiar passage of Scripture. It is Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. And be finding the 38th verse in Luke chapter 10 here this morning. And when you're there, if you would please rise as we honor our Lord and our King with the reading of His word here this morning. Now it came to pass, as they went, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer this morning? Oh, Father God, how good it is to be in the Master's house, to be sitting here in the King's court this morning. Oh Lord, we praise You because You are a great and an awesome God. We praise You because You're a God who hears our prayers. You know our thoughts, You know our hearts, and You give us just exactly what we need each and every day. Oh Lord, we thank You for being a gracious God, a loving God, and a just God. Lord, speak to our hearts through this message today, we pray. And when all is said and done, Lord, would You convict those who need conviction this morning? Would You comfort those who need comfort? Lord, will You have Your will and Your way in us, Lord? And I know You will if we'll just open up our hearts unto You. Grant us an ear to hear this morning, and Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Now, friends, God has something that He wants to share with us here today. Can I ask you a few questions as we begin? Do you have an ear to hear? Is your mind opened or closed this morning? Are you open to God? Or are you closed to God? Are you present, meaning you're actively listening here today, prepared to receive what God wants to share with you? Or is your body here and you have essentially already checked out of the building? Why do I ask these questions? To hopefully awaken all of us to the fact that church isn't just about showing up, as important as that is. It's about taking in that we might carry the message out. It's about taking in the spiritual nourishment that we so desperately need to live the kind of lives that God would have us to live. With that said, how many of you are aware that there is a huge difference between weariness and sleepiness? Sleepiness is usually fixed with a good night's rest, but not weariness. You see, weariness is a different animal altogether. Weariness is the result of trying to spin multiple plates at the same time. It's the result of burning the candle at both ends, of constantly seeking to multitask, juggling as much or more than one possibly can. Are you aware that weariness dictates how you feel and what you will do? Being weary means you can no longer relax, and that leads to no longer being at home with who you are or even with who God created you to be. I wonder this morning as I speak, could I perhaps be describing some of us who are gathered here this morning or some who are listening to the online message? We've read Jesus' words and heard sermons on the passage, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And yet, the multiple things that so many people are trying to juggle in their daily lives causes the ship of our lives not to dock with Jesus. If that describes you, it's no wonder that you are worn, that you are weary. It's no wonder that you feel weighed down, wondering if you'll be able to manage one more thing on the one hand while thinking you're never going to get through it on the other. Can I get amen? Well, Martha, here in our text, she's like a lot of folks today. She just couldn't say no. So she kept right on adding to her calendar, to a calendar that was already full. And, you know, I find that's what a lot of folks do today. Their calendar is so full, they no time for Jesus. They just keep adding more. You see, Martha's not that much different than all of us. She thought she could, and so she tried to do it all. And the result was she became angry. She became bitter. She became frustrated. And she complained. She looked over there at her no-account sister Mary, just that lazy thing, sitting there at Jesus' feet, doing absolutely nothing. Ring a bell with anybody? Do you find yourself with your temperature rising at times, frustrated, angry, getting bitter over not being able to do that which you would really like to do? Do you find yourself constantly, well, maybe not constantly, let me rephrase that. Do you... Are there periods where you're finding yourself filled with negative emotions and thoughts? Are there periods in your life where you're making snide remarks to yourself under your breath or to others within earshot? You know how it goes. Just loud enough that they'll get the point. I'm not happy. Does it seem as if no matter what it is, you get angry or frustrated because it's just one more thing on an already crowded plate? Are you beginning to wonder as if all you do from the time you get out of bed in the morning to the time you go to bed at night is chase your tail like a dog, just running around in a circle? Well, that describes any of us who are gathered here or listening online. Allow me to ask you a couple questions this morning. Who's responsible for filling your calendar? Who makes the choice? And then the second question is this: would Jesus fill your calendar the way you do? Stop and think. Would Jesus have you go, 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 going continually? Would Jesus want you angry? Would Jesus want you bitter? Would Jesus want you filled with these negative emotions? Would Jesus want you frustrated? Would Jesus want you going, just another thing? Would Jesus want you chasing all that you're chasing? And here's a question, why are you chasing what you're chasing? Do you realize it's possible to start chasing something and then lose the very reason why we began down the road in the first place, and yet we continue to run and chase and chase and chase without even nary a thought of why we're chasing what we're chasing? Would Jesus fill your calendar with the good things or with the better things? Would Jesus want you carrying your load? Now, let's be fair. It wasn't that Martha didn't love Jesus, and it's not that you and I don't love Jesus. It's not that we don't want to live a life that is pleasing. You want to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, and so did Martha. Brothers and sisters, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, our Lord spoke something very important that we in our modern day culture have missed. I don't feel bad because Martha missed it too. The word is rest. Can I ask you a question? How well do you rest? I'm not asking how much sleep you get or you don't get. I'm asking, has Jesus asked when he used the word rest, how well do you rest in Jesus? How well do you rest in Jesus? You see, rest is Jesus' offer to you of freedom from the world's way of doing things. Rest is Jesus' offer to you of freedom from all that is weighing you down. What would it mean to you if you could just get rid of the load, the burden that you're bearing, all your worries, all your cares, all your frustrations? What would it mean to you this morning if you could just be free? You see, rest. Jesus speaks here of giving us rest. He came to give us rest. He came to give us a place to dock the ship of our lives. Jesus wants us to be free of worries. He wants us to be free of our cares. He doesn't want us dragging around our burdens, our worries, and our cares through life. He wants us to labor with joy. That's why the Word of God continually encourages us, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Now don't do what a lot of Christians do when they come to the altar. I've seen this, so I'm just testifying for a moment. You know, they'll come in all weighed down. I mean, they're so weighed down that you actually have to pick their chin up, put it back in the wheelbarrow. But they just come in a wheeling in. "How you doing? Oh, am I going to make it, I hope." And then they'll come to the altar and they'll pray because the pastor said something intelligent like, "Cast all your burdens upon the Lord, for he careth for you." Oh, and they love that. But then they don't leave it at the altar. They pick up their pile of bricks and they just go right on back out as if they'd never been in the presence of Jesus Christ. Friends, Jesus Christ can carry our burdens. Jesus Christ works 24/7, so we don't have to. How well do you rest? Do you know that there's a whole lot of Christians today who are so weighed down by their calendar that they've become nothing more than joyless toads? Talking to them is like talking to Eeyore or Debbie Downer, as Pastor B likes to say. Nothing's good. You know, you met people like that, right? The sun's shining brightly. You say, it's a beautiful day. It's going to rain. They're just trying to make it through, you see. Their theological thought is this: the Lord's done laid it on me now. I've heard that statement from Christian brothers and sisters so many times in 25 years. This incorrect theological thought, it's no wonder that they're living their Christian lives like a moldy, wet blanket. After all, Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. This was Martha's thinking as she was trying to make dinner for Jesus and his disciples, while her no-account, good-for-nothing sister was doing nothing to help. Martha was burdened. She was weighed down because to her mind, it all depended on her, and that's what a lot of people think. They're so weighed down, it all depends upon me. They are running all day long from one thing to another, even church. They have no time to dock the ship of their life to rest in the Lord. They just run. Well, Jesus offers and is offering to replace our burdens with his yoke. Jesus is simply saying if we will yoke up with him and learn from him, we will find rest for our souls. And that's no yoke. Forgive me for digressing and trying to be funny. The point is, if we will yoke up with Jesus, he promises we will find rest, the rest we so desperately crave. We will not only find rest, but we will find freedom and refreshment from Jesus as well. That's why Jesus here said of Mary, she has chosen the better things. Too many Christians are like Martha, frustrated, bitter, angry, and complaining because they're trying to live this Christian life in the energy of the flesh. Living by their own strength, living in unrighteousness, if you will, in bondage to weariness. That's why Jesus scolded Martha and commended Mary. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet where she was released from the bondage of weariness. As she listened to his word, she received the refreshment so desperately needed. She was able to soak up and soak in what mattered most. You know, I know a little bit about this chasing stuff in life. Many of you know, and for those that you don't, I used to train horses professionally. I was chasing a national championship. Chased it for 25 5 years. I chased it so much that 1 year I missed Christmas. I missed Easter. I missed my wife's birthday. I missed our anniversary. I just missed it all. Lost sight of what's important. Do you know that when I finally won the national championship, I thought it would mean everything? It meant nothing. I got off the horse, went to pat the horse on the neck. You know what that horse did? Horse turned around and bit me. I thought, now I've got it made. We're going to have all kinds of horses. We're going to have everybody going to want me to train their horse because I'm national champion. You know, I still had to run after people just like I'd always run after people trying to convince folks to let me train their horse. Nothing changed. You know that national championship ribbon that I wanted so desperately? Well, it's in a tub of my memories, buried under everything. That wonderful color of red, white, and blue and purple for champion is long since faded into nothing. Why do I share that story? Because I was weighed down. I was burdened. I was just a chasing, just like a lot of folk do. I'd forgotten to yoke up with Jesus. Friends, is it possible that we can put all the wrong things on our calendars? Is it possible that we can find ourselves running after good things but not the better things? Is it possible that we can be living by our own strength, living in unrighteousness? And here's what I mean by that. Martha really wasn't doing anything wrong till she opened her mouth, began to complain about her no-account good-for-nothing sister. That's where we find the fruit of unrighteousness. She was living in bondage to weariness. It's why Jesus scolded her and commended Mary. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. And again, it's where she was released from bitterness, released from weariness, able to soak up and soak in. What mattered most? Mary was free and Martha was enslaved. You know, some folks come to church and it's impossible for them to relax while they're in church, and they're no different than Martha here. She couldn't relax even when Jesus was in her house. Hey guys, guess what? Jesus is in the house this morning, amen? Where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in their midst. And you know, some folks can't relax in the midst of Jesus because their mind is on what's going to take place as soon as this long-winded preacher gets finished. And what's taking them so long? It was weariness that was dictating what Martha was doing and how Martha was feeling. It was weariness that kept Martha in bondage and Martha from being at home with who she really was. It was weariness that had caused Martha to lose her peace. If Jesus were here this morning, and he is, remember, because where two or three are gathered in his midst, he in his name, he's here. Would Jesus say of you, you are like Martha or Mary? Would he commend you as he did Mary for choosing the better things? Or would Jesus look at you, lovingly shake his head and go and scold you as he did with Martha? Mary was able to mount up with wings like an eagle. She was able to run and not get tired. She was able to walk and not become weary. She was able to receive the refreshment of righteousness because she chose not just what was good, but what was best. She received what Jesus offers all of us because she chose to dock the ship of her life with Jesus. Isaiah spoke the words of our Lord's promise. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. As I said, Mary could mount up with the wings of eagles. She could soar. How many of you would like to soar this morning? Martha, on the other hand, was filled with weariness. She chose what was good, but not what was best. And I'd venture to say, if you could look back like I can look back at 27 years of training horses, I'm so thankful God called me to the ministry, because when I look back at those horse days, I had a lot of good things, but I wasn't chasing the better things. I hope that happens in all of your lives, that God would show you that maybe what you're chasing is a good thing, but it's not the best thing. Do you think that God would want us to be chasing good things or the best things? Martha, as I said, was guilty of piling up her schedule with too many things. And friends, the burden proved to be too great for her, and she caved. And the proof is the way she spoke to Jesus. Lord, don't you care? My no good for nothing, no count sister there. She ain't doing nothing to help me. Lord, tell her help me. You know what I think Martha found herself being in that moment? Nothing but a clucking old hen. Clucking about this and that. And I seriously doubt that's who Martha wanted to be. I mean, who among us wants to be a clucking old hen? Just going around clucking about this, clucking about that. You know, you don't. And we don't want to be that way, do we? But it's what she'd become, because she had chosen good things, but not the best things. Let me encourage you to review your life. Let me encourage you to be courageous this morning and to allow God to speak directly to your heart. Because in this word here, this is the better thing. And in this word here, God speaks directly into your lives. In this word here, we will find all that we will ever need to live the kind of life that we all desire to live, the kind of life that God desires us to live. You see, God didn't create us to go around with our chins under the wheelbarrow like an Eeyore or a Debbie Downer. He created us to be the most victorious people in the world, because when Jesus said, "It is finished," the battle was won. We have all that we will ever need in Jesus. And it's why the Bible encourages us to keep our eyes open on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and is now set down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We ought not to look weary. Our refreshment comes when we sit at the Father's feet and we hear the Word of God and we allow God to have His will and His way in our lives. Well, a couple questions. Who's responsible for yours or your family's calendar? As we close, ask yourself, would Jesus put on your calendar the things that you're putting there? Ask yourself the question, do you have time to sit at Jesus' feet? As you examine your life here this morning, would you answer Jesus if he were to ask you, are you choosing the better things? Are you choosing the better things, really? Would Jesus commend you for the choices you make? Or would Jesus scold you? You see, Mary was commended, Martha was scolded. But the question for us is, what would Jesus do with you? What would Jesus do with me? Could it be the bondage of weariness is that which is keeping us from living the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us? Well, Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. And Lord, we close with the prayer we opened with. We hope, Lord, that we all have had an ear to hear that which you have spoken to us this morning. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for the many times we have chosen good things over the better things. The better things that you so long to give us, but Lord, as is often the case, we got in our own way and we failed in the flesh. Lord, it's no wonder that so many are weary and tired when it comes to this Christian life, because so many are trying to live it in our own strength. Lord, forgive us for the foolishness of our choices, for the foolishness of our ways. Lord, you have promised to give us everything that we would need if we will just trust you and lean upon you, if we will refrain from being wise in our own eyes. Lord, you will give us every step and every direction that we should take. Lord, we praise you today for your word. Lord, it's a wonderful word. It strengthens us, it nourishes us, it gives us everything we need that we can go through life joyfully, faithfully, with our eyes upon Jesus, knowing that no matter our physical condition, no matter our financial situation, that no matter what emotions we may be feeling at any given moment, that, Lord, your word and your strength will see us through each and every day until, as the choir sang, you call us home. When we fight that final war, as the song says, and we walk into the loving arms of our Savior. Father, we just praise you. We praise you for your goodness. Lord, I wonder here this morning as we close this prayer if there is someone here who needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I wonder if there's someone listening online this morning that would say, or is here in the church, that I need Jesus. I need a place to dock the ship of my life. I need a Savior. I am lost in sin. And Lord, if there is one here in this church, we pray that they will come to the altar this morning. But Lord, we'd be remiss if we did not offer those listening online an opportunity to receive Jesus. You might pray a prayer such as this: Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I am lost. I am bound for hell. I need you. Right now, Lord, I am repenting of my sin and I am putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, come into my life and be my Lord, which means I am surrendering all of me to you, and be my Savior. And help me through the power of your Spirit to live a life that is pleasing unto you. If you prayed that prayer this morning, rest assured that Jesus has heard your prayer and that you are now a child of the living King. Please get a hold of us here at the church that we may share information with you, put a Bible in your hands to help you get started in your new walk with Christ. I wonder, Lord, for those who are here, how many would say, I need to go and leave my burdens with the Lord and not pick them up. I need to leave them. And then I need to get up and walk in the power of God's Spirit, trusting Him to show me each day, each step that I need to take. Oh Lord, I pray that you would forgive me for leaning on my own understanding when your word clearly says, do not lean upon your own understanding, but acknowledge you, and in all my ways you will direct my path. Lord, unfortunately, I have been living differently. I have been the one who's been calling the shots. It's no wonder I have failed. Lord, rescue me. Help me to choose the better things. You may be here and God is calling you to become a church member. Well, you come. As Brother James and Sister Tammy come to lead us in our song, may we look up to Jesus. Jesus, our Savior. What has Jesus said to you this morning? Is there something you need to come and leave with the Lord? Maybe you're here, you've never been baptized. I don't know. Friends, I believe in this word. I believe every word, even the ands, the these, and the thous. And I know that God's word never goes out void. God has spoken here this morning. If you've listened, will you come as we sing? Would you please stand?